From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, he begins a message dealing with the Spirit of Promise. From passages in the Gospel of John and in the Book of the Acts, we read of Christ's promises of the outpouring of the Spirit upon the disciples, as well as upon the church at large. In introducing this subject, Dr. Cairns calls particular attention to Christ's words in John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the difference in the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Did God create evil? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The Lord, through Isaiah, tells us, Yes, I create evil. What? Does that mean God's the author of sin? No, he doesn't say I create sin. The word evil in Scripture is a word of wide meaning. It may speak of iniquity, but as it does in this context, it speaks of calamity as well. When you talk about the evils of life, you may be speaking of pornography, you may be speaking of murder, you may be speaking of theft, gangs and all the rest of it, or you may be speaking of disasters, the calamities that overtake people. And in the context in which God was speaking of him creating evil, he's saying, when these calamities overtake nations, remember, they are not accidents. I am in charge. Now, I know that in our day, people rebel against this. God didn't send the tsunami. God doesn't send the hurricane. God doesn't send this and that. But at the end of the day, we're not dealing with the impersonal forces of nature. We're dealing with the eternal God, the judge of all the earth. Now, let me back up a minute. When God sends a natural disaster, it doesn't say it's there because those people were more wicked than the rest of the people. Doesn't say that. In fact, the Lord Jesus points that out very clearly. But nonetheless, God says, I'm the one, I send the calamities that overtake the nations of this world. I send them. I am the judge of this earth. I am working out my purpose in the earth. And when I put it that way, let me remind you, we see just so little, and we understand so little. If you can imagine yourself as a one-year-old or a two-year-old child, and you're standing in front of a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you look at one little piece, and you say to yourself, that makes no sense. I cannot understand that. Does that say it has no purpose? It is not a beautiful thing in its own right? No, it doesn't. It simply says you don't see it. That's the way we are when we look at the purposes of God. What God is doing in the world, even by his judgments, he's bringing everything toward his own foreordained consummation that will glorify him and bring to pass his purposes in their entirety. Did God create sin? No, he didn't. As some philosophers have pointed out, sin is what we could call something of a negative entity. It's always a negation of something good. God created the good. Sin is the negation of it. God did not create sin. Does God create evil in the sense of God sending calamities that afflict the nations of the world? He said, yes, I do. Learn this. I am your judge. Learn from those calamities to repent and be converted, because there's a far greater calamity that lies ahead. That's the calamity of the second death for those who live and die yet outside of Christ.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call while God is near. God abundantly will pardon those who turn to the Lord.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning we will want to look at all the passages that we have read, but particularly we'll be paying attention to John chapter 7. Verse 38 says, He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Feast of Tabernacles was the last of the children of Israel's yearly national observances. This Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 7 days. And during that time, the people commemorated their nomadic life in the wilderness, when as a nation they had left the land of Egypt and they went on their way to the promised land. They commemorated those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness during this Feast of Tabernacles by dwelling in booths. Then on the 8th day they held what was called an holy convocation. And on that day they celebrated their exit from the wilderness and their entrance into the promised land by abandoning their booths and by returning to their regular dwellings. Altogether, this period of the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the most joyous times in the calendar of Israel's national events. It was a time that was full of symbolic ritual. For example, during the 7 days of the feast, each day there was a solemn procession as they took water from the pool of Siloam in golden pitchers, and they carried it into the temple of God. And this for them was a memorial of how the Lord sustained them those years in the wilderness and provided water for them in that desert land. Significantly, on the 8th day, they had no water-carrying procession, because this was the day that symbolized that they were now in the land. And of course, the land was a land of hills and valleys, of fountains and rivers, a land that abounded in springs of water. And so the Jews declared their satisfaction with both the temporal and the spiritual state that they were in the promised land. Now it is significant that on that very day, the great last day of the feast, when with great exultation the Jewish nation was expressing itself satisfied with its condition, the Lord Jesus stood up and he cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me
and drink. That is certainly a wonderful verse. May interest you to know that that was the text through which one of America's greatest ever preachers and men of God was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the text that the Lord used three distinct times in the experience of David Brainerd to convict him, to save him, and to call him to full-time missionary service. What a text! It has in it a glorious declaration. For the Lord Jesus is saying to the Jewish people, there is no ground of satisfaction in the religion of Judaism. There is no ground for you to be satisfied because of legal observance or because of all the ritual. You've been carried along on a wave of religious fervor. But you need more than religious fervor. You need the living Christ of God. You need more than symbolical spiritual satisfaction. You need the real spiritual life-giving water of grace. And Jesus says, if you're still thirsty, if you've tried religion and your heart is still empty, if you've gone through all that the church can put you through and yet your heart is still empty, remember that life is not in the church, life is not in ritual, life is in the living Christ of God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a revelation that Christ is giving. I personally, he is saying, am the source of all life and all salvation. I personally am the only one to bring a man out of the wilderness of sin and bring him into God's salvation. And what an invitation. If any man is rich, let him come and pay for it. Thank God that was never found in the lips of the Savior. If any man is strong enough and will to work for this, let him come. Thank God that was never in the lips of the Savior. But if any man thirst, if any poor sinner feels in his heart an aching void, feels a need to be reconciled to God, feels a need to get a drink of the water of life so that he will never thirst again. If any poor sinner feels within him this thirsting after God's salvation, let him come. Dr. Paisley often says that the only qualification you need to be saved is sinnership. Let a sinner feel that he's a sinner and that Christ is the only Savior and he needs no more. Let him come without money, without price. Let him come without strength. Let him come without merit. Let him come without delay. What an invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. When a poor sinner comes to Christ and drinks, he gets a full salvation. Because the Lord Jesus followed those words with a glorious promise. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Today I want us to deal very simply, and I emphasize that because we do come to some deep water in places, and I don't want to drown you. I simply want to deal with this as plainly as possible. I want to deal simply with the text and the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. And we will be looking at Acts 1, where Jesus speaks of the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. the promise of the Father which ye have received of me, and its fulfillment in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God fulfilled the promise in the pouring out of His Spirit upon His people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.